This is GQDN for Monday, February 16th, 2026. Brought to you today by Audible. Go get your free credit. audibletrial.com/GQ26. By swiftenergy.gg. Go get those delicious drink mixes. Put in the promo code Quest. You get 25% off of your purchase. And go get Quest worthy too. It's good stuff. It's strawberry. By patreon.com/thegroupquest. The Group Quest. And by stackup.org. In today's news,
a Pikachu.
Yeah, he was sold for almost $17 million. Yeah. We got a delay coming. And did I say Pokemon? Yeah, there's a game coming for Pokemon too. But we begin today with Sony PlayStation, because something that we knew that was going to happen just got confirmed. GGMania.com said that Sony is now considering pushing the PlayStation 6 release back to either 2028 or 2029. Why? Because of stuff we already know about. There is still a severe memory chip shortage, and that is because of the demand for AI, and that comes from the companies such as Nvidia, Alphabet, and Amazon, and that is creating a crisis that threatens the gaming industry. So Sony is considering delaying the PlayStation 6 launch until 2028 or 2029. Now this also goes along with Xbox delaying theirs and Nintendo looking at their infrastructure to keep the prices down. Now Bloomberg is also reporting some of the highlights on how AI priorities and what they're doing with the high bandwidth memory and DRAM production away from consumer electronics. Now previously, rumors did point to a possible 2027 release for PlayStation 6. So, is this good or is this bad? You can let me know at Joe Brums on X or Blue Sky. But that's not the only delay. Icarus, the console edition, is also delayed. Via WCCFTech.com, this game apparently needed more time to get polished. In fact, last month, Rocket Works and Grip Studios did announce that the popular survival game Icarus would make its console debut in 10 days. But the console edition has been delayed by 1 month and will now arrive on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, on the consoles on March 26th. So in a statement, the studio did say that the game is, quote, in a strong and stable state, end quote. But they needed more time to polish it up. So here's what they said in a statement. Quote, after careful consideration, we've decided to move the release date to Thursday, March 26th. The additional month will allow us to polish the gameplay and ensure the best possible launch. While the game is in a strong, stable state, we've identified fewer areas that need further refinement. Rather than launch with known issues, we believe taking these extra weeks is the right decision for the game and players. Our team is fully focused on polishing the experience and game content to ensure it plays intended across the Xbox Series X and S and PlayStation 5. Thank you for sticking with us. We're looking forward to welcoming you to Icarus soon. Now, Rocketworks did also reveal that it will host an AMA session on Reddit tomorrow, beginning at 2 p.m. Pacific time, which means the players will be able to ask any questions that they could think of. But thinking is the right word, because in another stage of thinking, one of the God of War creators was asking, what were they thinking? Via Eurogamer.com, the God of War creator, David Jeffy, is not happy about it. Now, we know that God of War is making a big-time comeback to PlayStation via the God of War 1, 2, and 3 remake. But what was also released last week was the God of War Sons of Sparta, and that came from Mega Cat Studios in partnership with Santa Monica Studio. And there you can find out about Kratos and Deimos and how they were growing up. So Jeffy got up on YouTube and he put some thoughts on it, and I will paraphrase. So this is how he began. Quote, this is the kind of game I've always wanted in terms of 2.5D God of War, but this to me is not what I was talking about. I don't like it, I don't recommend it, end quote. But he did go on to express, quote, what the heck are they thinking, end quote. because he was one of the original God of War directors. He did say that the gameplay, the Sons of Sparta, is okay. But he couldn't wrap his head around as why the game is in existence. Further quote, I don't understand, end quote. That's what he said with his face in his hand. Sorry, I didn't mean to make that rhyme, but that's what he said. And he was reflecting on a conversation that he had with the former Sony Santa Monica developer about the scene in God of War Ragnarok, where Atreus and Angerboda was talking and riding along together. Now, he said that the developer told him that, quote, these days driven primarily by story, and that's, end quote, and that's the way that he was told by Sony Santa Monica. And that's what he was apparently angered about. So here's what he said, quote, in Sons of Sparta, what I played, which was only about an hour of it, and I'll never go back to it. It's just like, get over yourself, man. They just kept stopping over and over and having the characters just talk and talk and talk. And the voice acting's not very good. The story, at least what I played, maybe it gets really good, but who the heck wants to play Sons of Sparta? This is not gonna God of War. And he did say that the origin story for Kratos was a, quote, dumb idea, end quote. And the fans would much rather play a game that's much bloodier and violent. So, did you play the game? You can let me know what you think of it. You know where to get a hold of me, at Joe Brahms. But he wasn't the only one that was talking about video games. According to NintendoEverything.com, the Pokemon Pokopia director did discuss the game's different multiplayer modes, and that was with a recent interview with Famitsu. The game director, Takuto Edugawa, shared some details about the project, and they were revealing how this could be the most ambitious title that was developed by Omega Force. Quote, I can't give a specific number of people, or a specific number of people, but this is the largest number of staff involved in any title development by Omega Force to date, end quote. Now, he did talk about the game's multiplayer component, which does work as is shown in a previously released trailer. Players can also visit the host's main island or create a completely separate island that would exist independently on the story mode progression. Of course, there's some other things to it, but I won't get you spoiled if you're going to play the game. The game launches on Nintendo Switch 2 on May 5th, so if you want it, give it a try. Something else could come up with Switch 2 as well. Oh, we're going maybe to Rumorville? NintendoLife.com said that Stellar Blade, yeah, you remember that one, might be coming to Switch 2. Why? Because they saw some ports going into the Switch 2, and that could be nothing like that, especially if it's coming from Sony Entertainment. But they're talking about Stellar Blade, which of course came from Shift Up, one of the PlayStation ports, PlayStation development company. So in the latest financial report, the team did discuss how it hopes that it would see the games achieve in 2026. And the report said, quote, we are reviewing platform expansion beyond PS5 and PC to broaden the audience reach. The approach is expected to both introduce the title to new players and gradually build anticipation for the next chapter in the series, end quote. So, could the game come in 2026 to Nintendo Switch 2? The game came out June last year. It could, but that's Rumorville, so always take that with a grain of salt. And that includes some releases that have been announced. Gamatsu.com said that Hack Zero is indeed coming. The CyberConnect 2 announced that the new action RPG for the consoles is being developed and could be published with the permission of the property holder, Bandai Namco. So, platforms and release date were not announced. But could it be there? It could. But this was also there too. On auction, the WWE wrestler Logan Paul, he's also a content creator, has sold a PSA 10 Pikachu Illustrator card for over $16 million. At the Golden Auctions, and was sold to A.J. Scaramucci, the founder and managing partner of Solari Capital. The auction closed early today, this morning, after 41 days of bidding, and the final hammer price came to $13.3 million plus a 24% buyer's premium, making the final price more than triple than what Paul paid for it. Paul purchased the card for $5.2 million in July 2021. Yeah. Which at that time set a Guinness World Record for the most expensive Pokemon card ever sold. He paid $70,000 for a custom case and a necklace to house the card. And he wore it at WrestleMania 38 with his costume. But now he sold it for over $16 million. Well done. Well done. This has been a Dawn Forge production. 2026. All rights are reserved. We'll see you tomorrow for more gaming news. So until then, go play some video games, people.